This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
And I quote, Nebraska is a program that deserves to be back. Not because of me, but because that's the kind of program it is. Dylan Raiola. Here's a couple other random things. If you hadn't heard, Memphis made a $250 million offer to join the Big 12. The Big 12 said no. Can you believe that? All right, SMU head coach Rhett Lashley took a shot at the SEC in defense of the strength of the ACC. And I quote, the SEC has had the same six schools win the championship. Not a single one has been different since 1964. That's top heavy to me. That's not depth. End quote. I didn't realize that. Did you realize that? The same six schools?
Well, he's talking about national championships. I think that's very strange. I don't see that as like a shot at the SEC. Yeah, at a certain point, not all, 16 teams are going to win. Keep in mind, Texas and Oklahoma just joined. They have also won national championships. So I don't know. I kind of thought that. I was like, should we look up how many championships the Big 12 or ACC? I don't know how many teams left. Florida State, Clemson. I don't know how deeper you'd get in the ACC.
Let's see. Florida State, Clemson, Miami. Georgia Tech has got one as well. Four.
Yeah.
Four. I talked about the Big 12 the other day. It was BYU and Colorado.
Yeah. And to that, too, the other one was kind of interesting because Iowa State, so when Memphis wants to join, it's kind of interesting just to see that money because they're offering money to get in. Iowa State, part of their problem, that deficit you were talking about, what they kind of highlighted was there's too many teams in the Big 12. Part of their loss is that they were expecting more money. Now there's more teams in the Big 12. So it's just so fascinating to see all these moving parts.
The pie can only be divided up so many ways, and then the slice gets to get a little bit too small for some. All right. Let me see the next thing I got here. Tight end Ahmad Johnson, right, five-star, top basketball recruit. Number one tight end recruit in the country, was here for the battle at the Boneyard. His team with Trey Taylor won the 7-on-7 tournament. He has narrowed it down to his final five schools, Texas A&M, Florida, Ohio State, Nebraska, Baylor, and LSU. That is six. Excuse me for not being able to count. But narrowed it down to his final six schools. And I know Nebraska is a legit strong contender for him, so we will see what happens there. Speaking of SEC gauntlets, off-season schedules this year, Georgia, Austin Peay, Marshall. Charlotte, LSU, Louisiana Tech, Southeastern Louisiana, Western Kentucky, Auburn, Ball State, South Alabama, Mercer, Oklahoma. I'm not going to make fun of their schedule in general. They can play nobody and still have a tough schedule. So I'm going to move on. Texas A&M, UTSA, Utah State, Samford, Texas, San Jose State, UTEP, Sam, Houston State, Tennessee, ETSU. Is that Eastern Tennessee? I assume UAB, New Mexico State. When there's more initials than there are actual names spelled out, that doesn't tend to be a great indicator. I mean, I could keep on going. You go to Mississippi State. They actually play Southern Miss, but then Alcorn State, Northern Illinois. And I know you look at Nebraska, we took Tennessee off. But when you sit there and the SEC just acts like they're playing an NFL schedule, like Oklahoma, Florida, okay, everybody else, like you're playing nobody in the non-conference. Then you have an extra bye week essentially right before your rivalry games in November because you have that fourth non-con game, which is generally not a tough team at all, to put it mildly and kindly, and you're only playing eight conference games. I get what you're saying, but to a certain degree, I kind of get tired of hearing about that. Like you need to actually play somebody outside of your conference, all right, because you're just jacking up the win column. And now that's going to jack everybody up in the rankings, and then you go play in the CFP and you go play in the bowl games and you lose to teams who actually played, one or two power four teams in their non-conference and nine conference games, and all of a sudden your insanely tough conference schedule seem more like a word salad than legitimate. Does that make sense?
It's very sad what's kind of happening in the non-con portion of our sport because of that 9-game, 8-game argument between conference schedules there. I will say that, you kind of listed off Georgia. You didn't mention Georgia Tech there. So they only play eight conference games. So they got an extra one, and Georgia Tech will be a heck of a team this year. So again, some of those teams do have, do schedule good enough games, but again, now we're kind of seeing it, and I don't blame the Big Ten at all with what we saw with Indiana. We'll get to Kurt Cignetti here in a bit. But Matt Rhule, too, the approach of, hey, if you guys are going to take it light, then we're going to take it light. We're not going to play one extra hard game, especially Again, maybe all this could be fixed a little bit too if the College Football Playoff Committee wasn't a little bit lenient into the SEC, it seems, or at least lenient into total wins as opposed to strength of schedule.
A little bit.
A little bit.
All right, so we're going to go into the defense here real quick and play a clip from Rhule and what he had to say about the defense. He called John Butler one of the most fierce competitors he's ever known. All right, but one final thought on the offense before we move to that side of the ball. Like, is this one of the deepest wide receiver rooms you've seen in Nebraska recently, Jake? All right, quick answer here, but we got Ja'Cory Barney, Dane Keene, Isaiah Hunter, Janiran Bonner, Cortez Mills, Jeremiah Jones, Quinn Clark, Demetrius Bell, just to name a few. Is that the deepest wide receiver room you've seen in quite a while here at Nebraska?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Again, I think there's certain rooms that kind of stick out. You know, you kind of think about the Kenny Bells and Quincy Enunwas and Jamal Turners and that whole group that was there, Westerkamp, Brennan Riley, a DPE at a certain point, and I'm kind of going over different eras, but right there. And then I think about Maurice Purify and, you know, Nate Swift and Todd Peterson and Franz Hardy in that group. This is going to be right up there, but you know, the question is who's going to stand out. I know there's a lot of expectation on Dane Key to be that guy, and so we'll see. Just a few touchdowns last year in the SEC, I think he's going to need to get that up considerably, and hopefully be somewhat of a red zone target for Nebraska. And then you know there are the other guys. I mean, I think it's fascinating to see who's going to lead this team in receptions, receiving touchdowns, and receiving yards, because it could be three different people, and I think that lets you know. You know, how deep this room is.
All right, my man, let's roll into it. Matt Rhule had to say about their defense. Let's go ahead and roll that defensive clip.
You know, when I go out places, people ask me about the defensive line a lot. And our defensive line is going to be hell on wheels. Watch. Just watch. We can talk about a lot of things. Right? And, you know, what we have, though, we have Andrew Marshall, and we have Sierra Wright. And we have Amari Sanders and Bly Hill and Jeremiah Charles. We got corners that can match up and play man. We got Javon Wright, who's a cheat code. He can match all the best tight ends in this league. Like, you don't have to put a safety on him, which but you have an extra safety to rob people. So we can play man, lower the box, and stop the run if we have to. We can blitz. When I go to bed at night, the things that keep me up at night is not the D line. Our defense is going to be good, and I like Butler. He's an aggressive guy, and he's not going to settle for bad defense.
I mean, there was a lot of confidence in there, which excites me. I wouldn't even say confidence. I would say boldness. Now, I do know Matt Rhule's more involved on the defensive side of the ball. And so, obviously, he's the head coach of the entire team, but he's personally more involved on the defensive side of the ball. So, when he speaks that boldly and that confidently, he talks about Javon Wright being a cheat code, and he talks about Andrew Marshall, Zaire Wright, and he talks about things to keep it up at night. It is not the defensive line. They're going to be a problem for opposing teams. That's what Matt Rhule had to say. Again, very confidently, no hesitation. What's your reaction?
Like you said, a lot to kind of break down there. To say Andrew Marshall before Zaire Wright even, I think is kind of interesting. Okay, as we kind of look at that opposite cornerback spot and mentioned Amari Sanders in there. So it's a couple names that we still kind of wonder for that opposite cornerback spot. But then specifically, you know, kind of Javon Wright talking about him being a cheat code. I mean, that's a huge honor to kind of say that, and lets you know how they're going to be able to be versatile when they are facing an attack from different levels of opponents that they're going to play. We've talked about it. They're not going to play for the majority deep offenses that are very lethal, or at least that weren't last year. So they're going to have an opportunity to eat, if you will, up there. But it does, I think it's interesting, because all that versatility, all that excitement that he mentioned in the back seven still does rely on that front four, front three, whatever they're going to run there at different times, applying pressure and stopping the run and all that sort of stuff. So it was interesting because he very much gave a compliment to the defensive line, but then just kind of moved on to the other pieces. And so, I mean, maybe that's because he feels like, you know, defensive line's good to go. Here's some other pieces I can brag about.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
I feel pretty good about it. You know, there's not, I know Nash and Ty is the big thing. You got to replace them. But between Van Poppel and Cam Meredith and Elijah, Judy, you know, Keona Davis, we've seen a lot of these guys already. It's not like they're not, you know, brand new guys. I hope they can do something. And then you added some pieces in the transfer portal as well, you know, for depth or to kind of see maybe in the pass rush with Williams-Wanieri. We'll see what it all kind of looks like here in the end. But I feel pretty good about it. But they've been very complimentary about it. I mean, I remember earlier in the offseason, he said they were going to be one of the best around. So
best defensive lines, yep.
Yeah, best defensive line. So we'll see. Doesn't seem to be a big, major worry on the inside.
He flat out said what keeps him. So apparently there's something keeping him up at night, all right? So, but he said it's not the defensive line. And to your point, he said they're going to have one of the best defensive lines around before spring ball started, before they had a single practice at all. Now here we are heading into camp, and he's like, "This is not something that keeps me up at night. They're going to be a problem for opposing teams." Again, they haven't had a practice yet in camp, so keep that in mind as well. I thought there was an interesting point you made. Complimented the defensive line, and then kind of went to naming players at other positions. Part of me wonders, because you listed a lot of the guys on the defensive line. They may not know who the starters are just yet, because, again, camp doesn't kick off till Sunday. So they may not be to that point yet, so he may not be listing. He may be like, hey, we got 6-7 really good guys. I just don't know who the starters are yet. So you compliment the group as a whole, and then we figure out who's going to start, who's the top rotational guy, who comes in on nickel, who comes in on whatever the different packages that they're going to have are into Butler's defense this fall. So maybe that's why he doesn't list names. He knows as a group they're good, but they're kind of figuring out, you know, who's going to be here, who's going to be there. Again, haven't had a single fall camp practice yet. I said all this offseason, the second level of our defense, it has been a long time since we have been this athletic. Marquez Watson-Trent is a tackling machine in the middle, but you got Dawson McCullough, Williams and Wari, and I'm curious to see his progression this year. Again, first-round talent, does he even start game one? Because his ceiling is as high as anybody's on this team. And there's projected first round picks on this team as we go along down the road, a year or two, whatever the case may be. But he's a young man who's still learning. Obviously, he's going to be a freshman this year. The Dawson McCullough, you've got all these guys from Willis McGahee, who almost won the fastest man competition at the Husker Games, was right there with your Corey Barney. All right. You've got, who's the linebacker?
Vince Shavers.
Vince, that's the one I couldn't think of. Yeah. A lot of people, including myself, have high expectations for him. He's a guy who was complimented two springs ago going into his true freshman season. He was complimented during press conferences. So the second level of this defense, once again, the athleticism runs wild. Shout out to Hulk Hogan right there. Runs wild. I do think there'll be a learning curve just due to the youth. There may be some busts here or there. Don't freak out, okay? We don't play a road game, not that those first games are gimmies at all, but until mid-October. So there's a bit of a learning curve. Got to beat Cincinnati, get to that Michigan game. But it's going to be exciting to watch what they can do with all the athletes. All right, and that second level. And the third level of the defense, there's a lot of guys with playing experience. And it is interesting. He listed Andrew Marshall right away. And when he said his name, we've got Andrew Marshall. Like, it was like, we've got Andrew Marshall. You know what I mean? Like, specifically him. And we know what Zaire Wright can do. We saw what he did last year. And then we've got other guys who have a ton of experience in that secondary. Now, who exactly goes where? How do the pieces of the puzzle fit? I think you said it. I think it was when spring ball started. You might have a lot of guys with experience, but who are the guys who can step up and be the consistent starters? Do we have those yet? Have we figured that out yet? We got a whole fall camp to get through. But I'm going to come back to it. And it's not because I'm a D lineman, a former D lineman. When I was in high school and I was the quarterback, I would tell you, does offensive linemen make my day either really fun or really bad? It's the offensive line, the defensive line. Linebackers, they don't turn around and yell at the DBs. They yell at the defensive linemen if blockers are getting to them. Like, linemen in practice, the skill guys get the majority of the field. Now you practice with, like, three different fields, but they get the majority of the field, and the linemen are all stuck in the corner. But come game day, the coaches are coming over to the linemen like, you set the tone. You're the ones who are going to make this game happen because it all starts up front. What this defensive line is able to do, what they can do consistently, this defense will follow in suit. How good this defense is not, whatever the case may be, it's going to start up front.
Well, I think that's why people, you know, the last couple of years, that's why people are wondering, because Jordan, you know, Ty and Nash were so dominant and so good up there. And that's what that's what the question is. Of course, you know, we know offensive defensive line is going to be very important, especially in the Big Ten, like you mentioned, in any football game. is what, because there was something special with that defensive line group for the 2 years that Tony White was here. Remember going into year one, that was a major question mark.
Yep.
Going into that spring game, it was like, what is this defensive line going to look like? And I like thought they looked fantastic in that first year. Big question going into that season. And of course, had a top 25 defense. Does whatever magic they had, did that leave? Did that go to Florida State with your defensive coordinator and defensive line coach? Or is there still some of that in the building? Or maybe you scratch and start from anew. But I'll tell you, that was one of the successful of all the things we can kind of complain about in the first couple of years of Matt Rhule. The defensive line room might be the most successful.
Yeah, the defensive line room. I do remember you brought it up. You know, Matt Rhule's first year, Ty Robinson was the only guy in that entire defensive line that had any starting experience at all. And then they went out and they were the strength of the team that first year. The team, not just the defense, which was the strength of the team. They were the strength of the strongest unit on the team, which made them the strength of the team. So just because there's guys that we haven't seen do it yet doesn't mean they can't do it. It just means I want to see it. I'm dying to see, especially as a former defensive lineman myself. Javon Wright, man, cheat code. PlayStation, PS5, he's the cheat code. Put him on the opposing tight end. You don't need to bring another safety in. You can leave that linebacker on the field and act like he's a safety because he can cover any tight end in this league. Yet, he's a bigger body that obviously is going to help in the run game. That's what Matt Rhule said. What's your reaction to that? Because I was like, wow. Like, I was excited when we found out we were coming back. It's his seventh year, right?
Yeah.
Like,
he's 25 years old, I think.
Like, no defense, nobody's ever played their seventh year at Nebraska.
He's the most Husker there's ever been.
The most Husker there's ever been. I like that term. So I was excited because he battled a lot last year. I was happy when he was able to come back. I was happy when I learned he was coming back. And to hear Matt Rhule be so complimentary of him, those are strong words. Cheat code. Man, when somebody calls you a cheat code, it's hard to think of a much stronger compliment going into a season.
And I can't wait to see because we've seen flashes from Javon Wright. We know that the injuries have played in there, but he's been somewhat of a playmaking linebacker, if you will, when he has been healthy. And, you know, he's had his up and downs, even on the field when he has been out there. But here he's the most veteran presence that they could ask for. And we'll see what he can provide to the team. Like you said, cheat code makes me feel like he's going to be out there just about every play. Like you said, that can open up, you know, Hartzog or whoever's kind of playing that roaming safety position. So it's huge. But I will say this. I hope he lives up to it because while Nebraska does not play a lot of great offenses, most of the offenses that aren't great or in any case in the Big Ten, it's just a really good tight end league this year. So that's, you know, if he's going to be the one that's expected to be the cheat code to cover the tight end, he's going to have to win a lot of those battles. And if he does, that could open up so much for this black shirt defense.
That is a fair point. We briefly talked about it a week or two ago. Penn State, USC, Michigan, and even Michigan, young quarterback a year ago, wasn't exactly putting up a million points, even when they beat Alabama and Ohio State. I think it was a combined 44 points between the two games. Their defense was dominant those last two games. So we're not facing the most explosive offenses on planet Earth this year. All right, we expect Penn State to be really good. Lincoln Riley's at USC. Michigan's going to Michigan. But, man, when you think about the type of offenses and quarterbacks we're going to face, they're good, but there's not a ton of guys that are going to terrify you. But the tight end position may be the strongest offensive position, running backs too, possibly, in the entire Big Ten Conference. Yeah. So that's an interesting point. All right. I know I'm going back to the offense here real quick, but I just want to remind people. All right, Mark McWay, I mentioned this the other day. He's actually the highest rated tight end on the college football video game. But just a reminder, he played in 12 games as a true freshman at LSU, okay, and was one of the highest recruited tight ends in the entire country. That tight end room in our own right is so intriguing to me. Just so many guys who can do so many different things. Who steps up? Who sees the most playing time? And how are they utilized? All right, don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country? And we're conveniently located right by the airport. We take pride in treating every customer like family because that's what has kept us around for generations.
Right now, drive home a new 2025 Subaru Outback for 1.9% for up to 72 months.
Start your journey today at columbussubaru.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 9/30/25.